Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Prescott gasping for air. Shotgun snap. Arizona 37 dumps it off to Williams. Quickly tackled on the near sideline. Ball jarred free. Loose. Cardinals have got it. Was the ball blown dead? Is it a fumble? Let's see.
I didn't hear a whistle. Did you?
Oh, the Cardinals have got it.
Thank you to Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Three turnovers for the Cowboys last night, Pearl. It was ugly. The offense could not do anything. Arizona's defense was absolutely stifling. Dak Prescott hurt his ankle in the first half. Feels like he was never really right for the rest of the game. No excuses. It was just a debacle from the Dallas side of things.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, Jerry Jones was up in the owner's box, got a lot of camera time. He was sure he was going to win that game, and all the metrics said they were going to win that game. They're great at home. They score at will at home, and they just couldn't punch the ball in last night. To me, that for Jerry and company, that was a shocking loss because Arizona only had two wins. I know they're a good team. This was kind of devastating because there was so much momentum around a trade. Everything was looking positive for Dallas, and it all disappeared. I mean, listen, if they didn't have that pump block in the first half, it might have been even easier for the Cardinals. That really, 27-17 doesn't even really tell the story of the game. The Cardinals won rather easily. Is that fair to say?
Well, nothing comes easy for the Cardinals, but I'm going to they held on to win, you know, and obviously that turnover that we just played from Kevin Harlan and Westwood won was the nail in the coffin. But I'm going to disagree with you that things have been trending right for Dallas. They've lost three of their last four games. Uh-huh. They lost on the road at Carolina, which I guess Carolina's a better team than we thought. They just went into Lambeau and beat the Packers. But then they beat Washington in a game where Jaden Daniels gets knocked out of the game as Mariota. And then at Denver, that was not even close. And then last night, you're right, it didn't feel close. The first half for Jacoby Brissett, I thought he looked like Dan Marino out there.
Yeah, but I know that you're actually bringing up facts, but haven't you been listening to Jerry Jones? Jerry told me it was headed in the right direction. So I don't know. I hear what you're saying. But on the other hand, it's like having two devils on my shoulders. One Jerry, one Maggie.
No
one
angels.
Common sense. And Jerry's like, yeah, we're all in. All in, Andrew. Let's go for it. He was talking like they were on the brink of a Super Bowl if they got the right guy yesterday. So you're right. Actually, the facts, yes, those are not good.
Yeah.
Now they're 3-5-1. I was wondering the whole game, 3-5-1, is the season over? Is there any reason to do a trade? And Troy Aikman, who former Cowboy, famously said, if there was a trade in place, which was reported, then you might as well cancel it now.
Yeah, I said cancel the trade. We don't even know what it is. We think we know.
Cancel the fictitious trade.
I thought for a second, I was like, man, did Jerry lose it? Did he think that this was the Jonathan Mingo trade from last year? And somehow he got his years confused?
No.
Because to be honest, I thought it was 2026 for most of last week.
Fair.
But anyway, that kind of stuff happens. We don't get a lot of sleep around here. Let's hear from Jerry. We have the cut about him talking about the trade. Okay, so Stephen A. Smith, who, by the way, this is a little bit of a deep cut. We'll get more into the bigger thesis here for Dallas, which is, to me, this is Jerry's most embarrassing year. And that includes years when he's had lawsuits, paternity lawsuits and other things that we can point and laugh and it's kind of sad and all that stuff. To me, this is Jerry's most embarrassing year because he is still the GM, bro. He is the GM.
Yeah.
And this offense was supposed to be really good and was good at times, 30 plus points a game. And you made the trade for George Pickens, and I liked it. And last night, George Pickens, they finally decided to go to him in the fourth quarter. He had been, on a milk carton for 3 hours. And then he has the stupid personal foul penalty. And you were wondering, when was this going to happen? It's a little light, taunting just by holding the ball in a defensive back's face. But again, it's a point of emphasis for the league. You're trailing in the game. Now you're driving. You've been awesome on this drive. And you get a 15-yard penalty. Just so dumb.
Yeah,
so dumb. But anyway.
I have no problem with George Pickens, though.
No, he's been excellent. But last night, you didn't need that penalty right there. And it's just the mental error. And we were waiting for something like that. But this is Jerry's most embarrassing year. I mean, this defense is so bad. And they're just what the record says they are. And he's responsible. And it's so weird because it's this half all in, half not in, pay Dak Prescott, trade for George Pickens. Now he's going to want a new contract. And meanwhile, your defense is a joke and you trade away Micah Parsons. Whether you think that was the right move ultimately or not to get him out of the locker room, Pearl, the process by which Jerry did it was so backwards. So to me, like, I think this is as embarrassing as it gets. And I'm curious for the Cowboy fan, 888-710-4ISN. He's not going anywhere. We all know that. He's the owner of the dang team. But this, to me, is his most embarrassing year.
I don't know. I mean, feels like that is recency bias because there's been a lot of embarrassing years for Jerry. He's had a lot of things go on. Like, isn't it? I don't see any major difference except we had the Netflix documentary this year.
Yeah, and
between
that was
Jerry this year and every other year.
Well, that's another part. I'm glad you brought up that the 10-part was it 7, 10 parts? Who knows?
4, I think.
But. Whatever. Felt like a year. Felt like 100 parts. No, Jerry does this origin story like documentary, kind of like signs off on it, right? And it's all about how he's like the ultimate winner. And even when his chips are down, he can win. And that's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a mediocre team that either disappointed in the playoffs, if you want to talk about those 12-win seasons, or was 8-8 for many, many years, stuck with Jason Garrett. Like, where's the winner? You're sitting on $100 billion of natural gas. Good for you, dude. Like, that does absolutely nothing for a Cowboy fan at all.
I feel like you're taking Jerry way too seriously.
Well, he's the GM still, Pearl. I mean,
yeah, but come on. I mean, it's Jerry Jones.
Yeah, but
it's funny.
Okay.
I mean, sitting there with Stephen A. Smith, the two of them are, it's like, are you taking Stephen A. Smith as serious, like 60 minutes away? What are we doing here?
Stephen A. Smith doesn't actually run the Knicks. He thinks he does, but he doesn't actually. Jerry actually runs the Cowboys.
But my only point is, like, what you're seeing now, and you do bring up great points, is kind of been going on forever. No, and that's why they haven't been in the Super Bowl in 30 years.
Yeah, but trading away Parsons way that you did and how that dragged out.
This is no different than Jerry. He's been operating in similar ways for several years.
No, but usually,
that is blasphemous.
Usually they drag out these dumb contract things and they end up signing. This was you dragged out, you end up trading the guy in the late August.
Do you see a team that is a Micah Parsons away from doing anything?
Listen, all I know, I get what you mean there. But all I know is that you could have actually had draft picks potentially this year that could have helped you. You want to pat yourself on the back for getting rid of Micah Parsons.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You traded him so late, you've got nothing to help this team except for Kenny Clark, who did make a nice play last night, but you're not a Kenny Clark away.
Oh, yeah. So, I agree with you on the process on Micah Parsons, but keeping Micah Parsons would not have fixed everything either.
I said the process, whether you like Parsons or not, the process was all
there. I just think their defense is so bad right now. Even with Mike out on the field, who was a major difference maker when he came back at the end of last year, I still think they're so far away. And by the way, the offense last night was a big disappointment too. The offense has been on fire at home, especially. I think they ran into a really sneaky good defense. We've been kind of talking about those Cardinals, like, the Cardinals lost again, but they look salty on D.
I know.
And that was kind of what happened last night, where the defense was, I think, very underrated.
The defense is great. And it looks like Walter Nolan is a dude.
Oh,
my
God.
That was his debut yesterday.
I feel like he's Jalen Carter light already after one game.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, man, that Ole Miss defense, actually, they underachieved last year with Lane Kiffin, didn't make the playoff, but that defense was really, really good.
Well,
anyway.
One thing, too, that Josh Sweat is another. Do you wonder why the Eagles are training for defensive ends? Because they're great Eagles defensive linemen all over the league, and Josh Sweat dominated last night, which is interesting because the Cowboys are supposed to have this great line, but Arizona's line, really, and Calais Campbell owned them the whole night.
I got some thoughts on Arizona that I want to get your take on too, but first let's continue on with the Jerry nonsense. So here's Jerry appearing on the Stephen A. Smith show. I think ESPN moved their entire headquarters to Dallas yesterday. No shade, just an observation. Jerry Jones talking about the fact that they did make a trade, Manny. I'll hear cut one. Well, let's hear cut one and cut two. This is everything Jerry had to say about trading for somebody at the trade deadline.
Talk to me about the possibility of bringing someone else in, but also getting Overshawn back.
We're going to bring someone else in, just so you know.
So, okay.
We're going to bring that. You know, today, right now, is the trade deadline.
Right.
Instead, I'm hanging with my buddies.
Right.
Great. I'm sure. So the Cowboy fans want you up on that ESPN set. That's where they need you. Not on the phone. Okay, more. So obviously that was the voice of Michael Irvin, and it was on the Stephen A. Smith show. Here's more from Jerry. Says a trade has been made, and they may make a few more.
Time is nigh. A lot of action going on right now in terms of trading. And we certainly have made a trade, and we may make a couple of more trades before that deadline.
So you may make a couple of trades before the trade deadline?
Well, we've made one.
All right, you've made one.
And
what was that for?
And we possibly could make two more, and I'm going to wait and let you read about that.
Okay.
When we send the papers in tomorrow.
I love it.
We're on the edge of our seats, Jer.
The secret, Jerry Jones' secret trade is the greatest subplot of the season. The fact that he's sitting up there on a scotch and he's got this trade and he's like, I mean,
who'd you trade for? Wouldn't you like to know?
The Cowboys trade for a punter.
He tried to get everyone excited about Jonathan Mingo, for God's sakes, who could have five catches since he's gotten there. This is it's not going well. This is not good.
Let's hear the last one. Michael Irvin going crazy, celebrating this Cowboys trade that we don't know what it is yet.
Somebody out there about to be a Cowboy. That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know. I ain't know. That's all we need to know. We got somebody coming. Woo! Let's hope.
Man, Michael Irvin, I hope they're cutting him a check for all this hype, you know? All right, so. Okay, rumors on who the trade might be for, Pearl. You were scouring the internet last night.
There's an internet rumor that it could be Dolphin safety Minkah Fitzpatrick. Just a totally rumor. I haven't seen any big insiders say that's true. They were linked by multiple people to Trey Hendrickson and Logan Wilson of Cincinnati, too. So pass rusher or possibly DB. Their safety room is a mess. So they definitely need a safety. But that being said, they're 3-5-1. The odds of them making the playoffs, you forget about the one. That means their maximum wins is now at 11, right? Am I here? The one screws up everything.
Yeah, carry the one.
Yeah, anyway, so they're almost out of the playoffs, and their schedule is hard. So that's the other thing, too. Look at their upcoming schedule. What's the point of trading for anybody? They should be selling, to be honest. I don't know who. Sell Pickens. Sell somebody. Because I don't know how you're going to possibly go on a run and make the playoffs in the NFC, which you're going to need a pretty good record to make. So this is bad. I think all the plans were contingent on winning last night. You saw Jerry in that box. You saw Stephen and Stephen A. They thought they were going to win last night.
Well, of course they did. Yeah. I think, you know, listen, Arizona came in on a 4-game losing streak. It's been, you know, you have a backup quarterback, but just the backup's been so much better than Kyler Murray. Jacoby Brissett is
that was a stroke of bad luck that it wasn't hometown favorite Kyler Murray in Dallas.
I know he's from Allen, Texas, right around there. But I guess the Arizona Cardinals gave them all they could handle. This was like a perfect matchup for the Cardinals in a lot of ways. And it's interesting, though, about trading George Pickens. That's kind of inspired because I bet he could actually get you something, even though he's on an expiring contract and whoever trades for him would have to trade something and pay him potentially. Yeah. But I don't think they'll do it. You want to know why?
Why?
I think they like the fact that this looks like a win for them. They can crow about this one. Like, look at George Pickens, even though he didn't really do anything till the fourth quarter. Once he got there, it was like, all right, you probably should have been scheming this dude open a little bit more, yep. Brian Schottenheimer, throughout the game. But they won't get rid of him because I think they see that as a dub.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also, I'm not sure that it makes sense. He is very good. I would almost re-sign him and go like a T. Higgins, Jamar Chase situation with CD and Pickens. I mean, honestly, if you fix a defense, you have Prescott, CD Lamb, and George Pickens, and Javonte Williams playing like he is, that's not a bad start, right? The defense is so bad, though, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, but look at who you just said, the Bengals. You could have a T. Higgins, Jamar Chase thing going on. Are the Bengals really the team you want to emulate right now? Their defense is so bad, too. They just lost back-to-back to the Jets and to the Chicago Bears. They had to trade for Joe Flacco.
Because I love high-flying offense. Yeah, they are my favorite team. I just throw that ball. Some of the catches T. Higgins made were so entertaining on Sunday. That's my kind of team. If I owned a team, I'd be like Jerry. I'd be like, we're going to put every possible asset into offense and prey on defense. And that's what they're doing right now.
To be fair, they're also very injured on defense. But, you know.
There's all the injuries in the world to have Bam Knight and Mari DiBergato run roughshod over you. I don't care how many injuries you have, Maggie. You, by nature, cannot stop the run.
That's fair. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. this to me is the most embarrassing Jerry year. We started off with your dumb documentary, which is very well produced, by the way. I thought it was good, but I mean, you're puffing yourself up, you know, in this, in how he's the gambler and the winner and this and that and the other. Meanwhile, your season stinks. You made that Parsons trade again, whether you like the trade or not. It was the process of it was so bad, and you're so far into this thing. You've been the GM now for 30 years. You need to be better, sharper. Let's waste no time. Let's get to the phones. Key is in Dallas. Good morning, Key.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
Not too good. I'm a Cowboys fan. Mm.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
I'll call to see who you guys think is better, I mean, or worse, Bengals D or Dallas D?
I'd say the Bengals D is worse. I mean, the Bengals D is all time bad. They can, I mean, listen, that Colson Loveland touchdown at the end of the Bears game, they just do not want to tackle anybody. Listen, as bad as Dallas' defense is, at least their wide receivers aren't cursing out the defensive unit. Like, it got bad in Cincinnati. It's all-time bad in Cincinnati. And you got to remember, they fired Lou Anarumo, and that was an insult to injury on this defense. So I would say Cincinnati is more of a train wreck if you had to compare them. Dallas at least had some pieces. They were actually sacked to Jacoby Brissett a bunch of times late. It was a little too late, but I feel like Dallas, that all that we said negative about them, they do have some good players on defense, right? Like at least some names. Deron Bland got cooked repeatedly last night. But I think Cincinnati's got they have nobody on defense. They don't pay anybody on defense. Dallas, if you just maybe mix it the right way, could you squint and see this Dallas defense getting healthy and better or no? Am I totally delusional? As we heard Michael Irvin say, DeMarvion Overshawn would come back and he's like the truth. He's amazing. So maybe Dallas can bring it together. Am I totally delusional?
I mean, a little. Yes. Yeah. I think the other part, too, is you're talking about two teams, if you want to go to the rankings, that are just dead last, like in the bottom. You know, yeah. Whether it's Bengals, whether it's Cowboys, ranked, what, 30th, 31st, 32nd, and all these different metrics. So it's kind of a tie. Tyrone is in Dallas. Tyrone, do you think this is the most embarrassing year for Jerry Jones? Sorry, that was hurting my ears. Okay, Tyrone, do you think this is the most embarrassing year for Jerry Jones?
Of course this is the most embarrassing year for Jerry Jones. Maybe two. Like you said, I heard you say earlier, he had a whole side baby, you know what I'm saying? His team sucks, but the team been bad for the past couple of years, so of course, it's very embarrassing for him. I'm embarrassed for him because it kind of seems like I ain't gonna say it. I was gonna say, well, he's going through a little mental things, you know what I'm saying? That's how I'm gonna put it.
Yeah.
He went through a few mental things. Because, you know what I'm saying? He thinks it's kind of like he thinks this is the 90s again. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he tried to talk to the fan base like we living in the 90s. And we know we ain't living in the 90s, but it's like he's trying to just, hey, yeah, we in the 90s. Man, it's bad, man. I told y'all, I've called in the past couple of times. I told y'all, this is bad.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
You know, Tyrone,
I told y'all it was going to be terrible.
It's funny because everything about the 90s is kind of back in style, right? It's like 90s nostalgia is kind of taking over pop culture. And I think Jerry got real swept up in it. The problem is, and Tyrone, thank you for the call. The problem is that the league is very different now than it was in the 90s and how you could build a team and how you can maintain your team. And you got to be a lot more savvy now as a general manager. And Jerry has not shown that he is capable of that.
Funny thing is, they do have a big three again. I've actually thought this team looks a little like the 90s. Dak is Troy, CeeDee Lamb is Irvin, and now Javonte Williams, who's on pace for about 1,400 yards, is Emmett. So he
that
like
means
Jerry
Ferguson
thinks,
is Jay Novacek. What do we?
Yeah, Ferguson is a lot like Jay Novacek.
Yeah,
Ferguson had a couple of little bloops last night.
That was
but
a big turnover.
Yeah, Jake Ferguson, he has a celebrity girlfriend too. Isn't he dating one of the twins? Is it Cavender? Manny, this
sounds
is what we need
familiar.
You.
Young people.
Jake Ferguson's with a Cavender, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So
at least he's winning in that area of life.
Except there's no Charles Haley or anybody on the other side of the ball is the problem.
Yeah, where's
right
Dion?
Now. Yeah, I mean, Dion wasn't part of the first two, but right, they had some defense. And also, what's Jerry's philosophy been? I'm going to build the offensive line and win that way. And he has drafted, and it does look promising at times. But last night, that offensive line with injuries disappeared. So Jerry does it. That's a great call. He does think he's recreating the 90s team. He's just not getting the W's.
Well, that's a problem.
it's not that big of a problem. As you've always said, he doesn't really care as long as he's relevant.
I know. Well, I've always maintained that. Jerry already came. He already got what he came for. Team's worth billions and billions. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Apparently sitting on $100 billion worth of something, natural gas or something. I couldn't even understand what he was saying.
Yeah, that was last week. There was a story that Jerry found $100 billion worth of natural gas. This is what he calls... And now you're going to have this forever. This is what he calls the glory hole. You know how he keeps talking about that? Mm-hmm. I know.
Mm-hmm. I think he thinks he's in the show Landman. I think he honestly
was in that show.
Yeah, I know. I think he thinks his life is on camera on Paramount Plus. I think there's something going on here where he doesn't know. Well, I could make this trade, but I also have this glory hole worth $100 million right here. I don't know.
Can't put a price on that.
Mm-mm.
All right, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
By the way, real quick, Tyrone in Dallas sounds like he knows where the best barbecue is in town. All right. Did you hear the accent on that guy? Whew.
I know.
I would trust that man with any food recommendation.
All the burnt ends in the world.
Little Pecan Lodge action.
I love that place. It's kind of fancy in there, though.
It's nice. Delicious.
Yeah, it is very good.
Now I'm hungry for barbecue. It's only 6:20 Eastern.
6:20 in the morning. All right, see you guys on the phones. Is this the most embarrassing season for Jerry Jones? And I do have another thing quickly about the Arizona Cardinals, which we'll get to in a moment because they just got a whole lot more interesting last night. Lots to do. It's the Maggie and Perloff show. Plenty of college football on the docket today as well. We kind of didn't get to a lot of that yesterday. So a lot of reaction from last week and looking ahead to the very first college football playoff rankings, which come out tonight. M&P.
All in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Manny getting us with a little positive 70s start here today. So it's a trade deadline. To me, there's going to be 31 teams looking to make moves, but I'm all in on whatever Jerry's doing in Dallas. This is great. I'm actually really excited that they're 3-5-1 and not 4-4-1. Because if they were 4-4-1, they could be all in and actually make real trades. Now they have the potential of making a disastrous trade that doesn't help the team in the short term because they're not going to make the playoffs and hurts them in the long term. So we have maximum chaos potential in Frisco, Texas. And that's entertaining. At least admit that.
Sure, I guess. If you like watching, did you like watching the Titanic sink? Do you find that entertaining?
I enjoyed the movie version many years later. And I enjoy the ESPN version of Jerry, which is basically a movie. As I said in the previous segment, he thinks he's in Landman, the Paramount special with Billy Bob.
I mean, there's so many cameras around him at all times. Who's to say it's not a movie? I was asking, and maybe we put the poll up, EJ, on social. Is this Jerry Jones' most embarrassing year as owner and GM? Let's go to Michael, who's in Fort Worth, who's got a little bit of a different take on what we're seeing out of Jerry. What's up, Michael?
Hey, man. I love listening to you guys. I think you guys have some great takes. Here's what I think. I think that the whole thing is a smoke show. I think when we went into the year, I think he had an idea he was going to go ahead and get rid of Micah Parsons. So he's like, who can I give him away to that I could possibly get some good picks? Because I'm Jerry Jones. I've got the best team on the planet. Only to come to find out the roles were reversed. And Green Bay's actually pretty good, and we're horrible. And as a Cowboys fan, it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
But it's actually worked out to his advantage because now all of a sudden we're 3-5-1. Now he's got a possible number one pick, unfortunately, with the Dallas Cowboys, a higher draft pick with Green Bay, and a second one in the second round from Green Bay. And I think it all works out. It works well because we got the opportunity to screw up this year a true proper quote-unquote hashtag team tank, and it doesn't look like we did it on purpose.
Michael, I mean, wow, you're really playing 3D chess there. looking for the silver lining. Thank you for the phone call. Pearl, what do you think of Jerry? This is actually all a big plan.
Love
to tank
it
to the top.
Love every a second of show, Michael's call.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that. I kind of like this version of Smoke Show. Smoke and Mirrors. You guys think about Smoke Show. You think about Sydney Sweeney, yes.
So, I
Megan
think
the Stallion.
The Cowboys, actually, if I'm the Cowboys, I trade away more assets to get first. They can't draft enough defensive players next year. However many there are in the draft, get them all because
they did that this year.
Well, I mean, they really need to go in on to get a high pick and get an edge who's dominant to replace Micah Parsons.
Okay, but here's the thing. So like you have Reuben Bain from Miami.
Who might not even be that high of a pick now, but there's got to be somebody who can rush the passer.
So here's the thing, though. Let's just say somehow Dallas does land with the number one pick. It's not going to happen, but let's just say, aren't you compelled at that point to take a quarterback?
Oh, no. Then you trade that away to someone who needs a quarterback. There's no way. Why would you trade Dak Prescott? Even last night, he was off, and he still threw for 250 yards
because
easily.
He's 33?
33?
At some point, I think you got to figure, and if you really do want these multiple picks and you young guys and to kind of...
He's got 8 years left.
Okay, then 8 years is not winning. I mean, and right. I like Dak. As far as like I respect what he's doing this year, and he's not a bad quarterback. I'll give you that. But
not a bad quarterback.
That's what. I'm just saying.
Great.
Let's talk about team building here. You've been doing things one way, and you haven't gotten close. And what do you always tell me about quarterbacks? Where do you have to find them in the top five of the draft, most likely?
Yeah, but Dak is elite. I think. I mean, that's not your problem. If you use those draft picks on a quarterback and not defense, then they have to send Jerry away.
No, I mean, of course you have to do defense, obviously, Pearl, but like at the same time.
The number one pick,
got the number one overall pick, I don't think guys can help themselves.
Out of that one. Beast for Ty Simpson, there's no way. It's not this year. If there was a Trevor Lawrence, maybe, but not this. This year's draft is weak. No way.
Put that poll up. The Cowboys somehow got the number one pick.
Happy election day, buddy.
Should they take polls on polls on polls?
Emerson Stewart over here.
These polls much more fun than whatever we're dealing with out in the world.
They don't do
world.
Polls anymore. Now it's Poly Market. That's all anyone follows.
I'm so glad you said that. I actually want to bring something up about that. That was in the news yesterday. JT's in Atlanta, though, wants to get in on these embarrassing Cowboys. What's up, JT?
It's hilarious because I love listening to Perloff because he doesn't like the Cowboys. So, of course, he thinks it's all funny, right? Cowboys fans don't. He just said he would want his team to be like the Bengals, and that's the team he would assemble. That's his favorite team. The Bengals aren't the Bengals fans' favorite team, so that's what's hilarious right now. Listening to Jerry Jones, it's like an old skit from Dave Chappelle, like when Keeping It Real goes wrong. Like he's the man, right? He's going to show everybody, and he's going to keep it real no matter what. But it's not working, right? And it's, you know, I know they're friends. He's got a lot of Trump in him right now where he's, like, saying things that don't match the real world, like $1.99 gas, right? He's like, yes, I'm killing it, right? And it's like, I'm doing it, you know, we've never been hotter. We've never been better. And everybody else is looking around like, what are you talking about, bro?
JT, we don't love to get political here. You could probably say that for a lot of politicians, but we get your point. And they do have the similar, you know, they're salesmen, you know, and thank you for the phone call. Salesmen, right?
I mean, college basketball coaches. Yeah. They all politicians lie.
Yes.
Jerry, that is a good point, though, by JT. Jerry, and you've always said this, he's also running a circus at a show and keeping the Cowboys interesting. It's not just about the smartest move all the time.
No, it's not. Let's get to Bogish, who's got headlines for us. What's up, folks?
Guys, good morning. Your headlines, as usual, are sponsored by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME, and get $50 in bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Please visit prizepicks.com. For restrictions and details. On their first three trips inside the Cardinals' 25-yard line last night, the Cowboys came away with just 3 points. That included failing on fourth and goal from the four on their opening possession. Dak Prescott wondering, what if?
That's kind of the whole deal. While some people accept the ball versus, you know, deferring, is you feel like if you score first that the other team plays and calls their plays differently. So if we have 7 points there, maybe they do, and I think that would shape up the game differently.
Dallas stuck on 7 points into the third quarter. They lost at home to the Cardinals 27-17. Dak got sacked 5 times. Arizona snapping a 5-game skid behind Jacoby Brissett. 261 yards, 2 touchdowns passing, plus a QB sneak for points.
It's hard to come back in that locker room and put one foot in front of the other, but you know, the men in that room, the coaches, you know, the support staff, you know, that's just all we preach. It's just putting one foot in front of the other, one day at a time. And you know, when you don't look for the results find themselves, and you just got to rely on your work.
Can I rant for 1 second about what Dak said about that fourth down?
Oh, sure.
It's fourth and goal early in the game, and he gets sacked, and which gives the Cardinals better field position. Why not just throw the ball up in the air? It's fourth down. Why would you hold on and get sacked there? I know, Maggie, how you feel about this play, because I've seen you rant about it.
It's just, how can you be this deep into your career? We're not talking about a rookie here. This is that. It wasn't J.J. McCarthy in his second year making his like fourth start doing something like that. Dak Prescott is an MVP candidate. He's 10 years into this thing. You got to be smarter.
Yeah, it's better than what Jordan Love did. Jordan Love was in the same position, threw it straight to the Panthers defender in the end zone.
No, he scrambled first for 25 seconds.
Yeah, it would have probably been a pick six if that guy had. But Dak really screwed up that fourth down. Have you guys noticed a trend? And I don't know if we talked about it. Everybody's going on fourth down because the kickoff is so insane that if you hit a field goal, you're giving the other team the ball at the 45-yard line. So everybody, the new smart thinking is never, ever kick the field goal, because you're giving the other team too good a field position. And you saw Brian Schottenheimer actually follow that rule very closely last night.
Yeah, but he kind of messed it up. I mean, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were, you know, on this the whole second half about not kicking the field goal to make it a two-possession game with 11 minutes left to go.
Yeah, on that pass to CeeDee Lamb that got knocked down at the end.
Yeah, that was another fourth down call.
I still think you go for it.
But it was still a two-possession game because you were down 17.
Yeah, but I totally understand the math. But still, you should be able to convert that fourth and four to CeeDee Lamb. Lamb, for some reason, Lamb screwed up just like I did. Lamb ran the wrong route. Like, he had to come back. It was so easy. The guy was 15 yards off him, and the first down tick was here. Anyway, I go for it. I know Bogues does.
Was that Lamb's fault? I thought the ball was just, it floated. It was just not a good throw to me.
It said the Lamb was not, had not gotten turned around yet, so Dak Prescott double clutched.
Well, I don't know why Lamb had to go so deep on that route.
Mm, I see you. The ball was just in the air. It felt like for a year.
Yep.
I'm like, Doc used as a good arm. What was that throw? You get double clutched, and that will mess you up. But I just thought that throw was terrible.
I pulled a hamstring on a treadmill 2 years ago, and I haven't gotten back on one since.
Speaking of that, if you can survive some time on a treadmill and you're big, you might want to give the Chargers a call, because their offensive line already in shambles going into Sunday's game in Tennessee. Then a Titan fell on Joe Alt. And now the tackle needs season-ending ankle surgery. All changed sides of the line to replace Rashawn Slater, who suffered a season-ending knee injury during training camp. There are multiple other guys, including our old friend Mekhi Becton, who are also banged up. So best of luck to Justin Herbert. The Lakers only had 9 available players last night in Portland because Luka and Austin Reeves were resting on the second night of a back-to-back. As you would have expected, Nick Smith Jr. stepped up.
Smart down the middle all the way. Throws it up. Ayton grabs it. Loses it. Gets it back. Throws it outside. Nick Smith 4-3. It's his night. I haven't seen a guy do this for the Lakers in years.
John Ireland, Michael.
They scored 90 points?
John Ireland and Michael Thompson correctly in disbelief. Smith on a 2-way contract pours in 25 points for J.J. Redick.
In the second half, he just took the game over. And we needed his handle and we needed his wiggle tonight. And it was truthfully, it was a perfect game for him.
If you say so, Coach.
Of all the juniors that you would have thought would have had an impact last night, Nick Smith or LeBron James Jr.?
Yeah. Imagine having the gall to say it was a perfect setup for Nick Smith Jr.
He needed some wiggle.
Yeah.
By the way, DeAndre Ayton's probably like, what the hell, guys? This is my revenge game.
Yeah.
He had a great game last night.
29-10 for him, 28 for Rui Hachimura. Lakers win their fourth in a row, 123-115 in Portland.
Where did Nick Smith even go to school?
EJ, you're our draft, Nick. You know him, obviously.
He's a first-round pick.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I just Googled him. I'm like, oh, he's 27th pick in the 2023 draft. This is a guy that only EJ here knows.
I know he was a huge recruit coming out of high school. And his first year at Arkansas didn't go that well, but he still went to the – I'm surprised he's on a two-way. I mean, he's still young. He's only 20. He's 21 years old. I don't know.
Maybe this is his moment. This is the launch point.
Maybe I got steal.
He was really good on the Greensboro Swarm. I love the team name.
That's the Charlotte Hornets team.
Yeah, we figured that out.
Yeah, Greensboro, North
Carolina. Where do they play, Manny, more importantly?
Yeah, if you could name that.
Piggly Wiggly Arena?
Probably the Greensboro.
Greensboro, that's where they hold.
Civic Center?
Is that where the ACC tournament
is? Yeah, the Coliseum, right?
Yeah, I think that's where it is.
It's got to be, right?
And thus concludes our arena talk for the day.
Wait till next hour.
You guys don't want more G League talk?
There might not be anything more meaningless in sports right now than being the third AL MVP finalist. But congrats to Cleveland third baseman Jose Ramirez. As we know, this award is about Aaron Judge and or Cal Raleigh.
It's going to be a very difficult trivia question in a few years.
Is anyone else stunned that Juan Soto's a finalist for the NL MVP?
No, not really. He hit like 40 home runs and hit like 110
RBIs.
He
ended up with these great counting stats at the end of the year. Really? I remember two of his home runs all season long as far as memorable.
I mean, I've been defending him all year, but I was like, MVP, the team collapsed.
Well, of his 43 home runs, 38 of them were solo home runs, so that's why they were unmemorable.
Yeah, the narrative was quite different then. I had no idea he had those numbers.
I know, he ended up finishing the year back of the baseball card, just like he always does. It's crazy. What else you got, Bud?
Opening night of college hoops. Arizona outscored Florida 93-87 in the Hall of Fame series in Vegas.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Koa Pete led the Wildcats 30 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists in his college debut. Guys, back to you.
Do we get our BYU Batants?
We'll get there.
Okay.
It's a 4-hour show, Mags.
You saying pace myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't use all the bullets in the first hour.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you got Nick Smith Jr. having a big night.
I know.
You got to throw that in there.
Well, we got the big headlines.
Greensboro Coliseum.
All right. We get back to the Cowboys in a moment. I think this is the most embarrassing year that Jerry Jones has ever had.
You got to spread those out.
Yeah. I also have 5 things I want to shoot into the sun. Do that a little bit later on. I have a thought. There's four of us.
What's the fifth?
Jake, no, okay. I love it. Your son's here today. That's the best part about today. We also have Pearl. I have a thought for the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, they're going through a bit of a quarterback controversy.
Oh, yeah.
I think I have a solution for them. It's the Maggie and Pearl Off Show. Give us a call, 888-710-4ISN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. Man, I'm kind of burying the lead today.
What's that? What's going on?
Did you guys happen to see, and I'm going to save it. I'm not going to tell you right now. The sexiest man alive was named by People Magazine.
Is this like a Jerry Jones trade? You're not you know that someone was made, but you're not going to tell us what it is.
I exactly. And I'll tell you right now, it's not me.
Wow, People Magazine didn't let me know of my victory.
I came in third,
Jose Ramirez.
I came in third.
Again?
By the way, this is so funny. If you know the Maggie and Pearl Off Show, me and EJ are like tuned into the Bachelor Nation, and EJ's Love is Blind. I don't know why. I feel like Maggie, Manny, you're in your own lane. You're more Knicks and high school basketball. Maggie, you don't understand pop culture. What's that?
I'm such a loser.
Yeah, facts.
We all are.
But Maggie, like, I feel like you're in fourth place in pop culture sometimes.
Distant fourth. I mean, you got Bogush is way ahead of me. Jake Bogush is here today. Bogush's little kid, he's in front of me,
there's
too.
There's not a conspiracy attached to it. Maggie has no time for it.
I really don't.
I guarantee Maggie's not seen any of these shows or movies this guy's in. I think.
Agree. Yeah, she hasn't seen it.
About who's People Magazine's sexiest man?
One of the movies she's in, she said that she definitely was not going to see. And she hated the idea of it. So there's no way.
Sounds like me. I don't even know what you're talking about. That could be any movie that's out right now.
I actually saw, I think, there's two movies that are, I didn't like either of them, and I'm going to, that's a hot take.
Okay,
oh, we're talking in circles here around Maggie.
Okay, wait.
But
so
you definitely
tell me
have
who
no idea.
I have no idea this, but it's not like, you know,
we're
going to
say the name, and it's not even going to register.
I don't know who it is either.
Who is it?
His name is Jonathan Bailey.
I have no idea who that is.
See?
Can you put the poll question? Do you have any? Do you know who Jonathan Bailey is? Yes, no. Just put no context, not people's sexiest man. Just do you know who he is? Jonathan Bailey, I feel like, did he play for the Pacers in like the early 2000s?
Margaret, I'm on your team over here. I don't, who the hell is that guy?
You just combine like Ace Bailey and like three other players.
Jonathan somebody played for the Pacers.
You don't know Jonathan Bailey?
I mean,
that's a little embarrassing.
Is this George Clooney?
I mean, Jonathan Bailey is probably, have you heard of, like Liam Hemsworth or like any of the other?
Yeah, I've heard of the Hemsworth. There's two of them. Wait, but EJ, what's the movie that he's in that I said I would never see?
Jurassic World.
Ah. Yeah, not seeing that garbage.
I'm totally messing with it. I'm totally joking with you. Like, you're not supposed to know Jonathan Bailey. He's one of the guys from Bridgerton. So it's like, and he's not the one that everybody likes from Bridgerton. The other guy.
Wait, not the women.
Well, they like him, but my daughter has a crush on the other guy.
Oh, well, I basically had to see that stupid Jurassic World movie because of him.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Like, we're going to see like my household Bailey. And I'm like, all right,
you
whatever.
You should be happy she's including you.
Yeah, I guess so. Right?
She could be seeing that alone.
So anyway, he's from Bridgerton, and he's in Wicked, I guess. I haven't seen I saw part of Wicked. I didn't like it. It's a surprise pick. It's usually like, go with Patrick Dempsey or something. Like somebody we all know, or...
Didn't they make it George Hamill like not that long ago?
Yeah.
Well, Jason Kelsey came in second place last year, right? Something like that?
Oh, yes. Come on.
That was crazy.
I remember that conversation right here on this show.
And then I feel like Pearl's trying to defend that
pick. That's like a sympathy vote.
Women like that kind of.
Some women like everything. Okay?
Sexy lumberjack vibes.
No, we have sexier lumberjacks. I'll show you my Instagram. There are women who like everything. Of course, there's women who like Jason Kelsey because he looks kind of like a more like an attainable guy. This is why there's like a psychology of this. You know, bands like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. You always had to have a guy that was kind of like not that kind of average looking so that some girls think he was like attainable. And for NSYNC, I think it was Joey Fatone. They call it the Joey Fat One. He was great in my Big Fat Greek Wedding. But you need like an average looking guy.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Part of the boy band formula.
I mean, Jason Kelsey is a pro athlete. He's not a bad looking guy by any means. But the last year was Jonathan Krasinski. The year before that was Patrick Dempsey. I was totally joking. There's no way. I didn't really know who he was. I kind of had to Google it.
Jim from The Office won this?
Chris Evans, obviously, Captain America won it the year before.
Isn't this kind of old? Like, people kill the SI swimsuit issue. Like, it's outdated and you don't need it anymore. And, like, what does it actually hold any place?
But we're rating guys now, so that's different.
So it's different. Yeah. That's different.
Oh, there's a great Paul Rudd won in 2021. I mean, how can you not like an award that Paul Rudd won? Michael B. Jordan in 2020? I think guys pick these awards. These are all our favorite people.
I've heard all Marvel names. So is Jonathan
60%
Bailey
of the
Marvel
time,
reason?
It works.
John Legend, 1 in 19. Idris Elba. Oh, this is a great list. Jonathan Bailey is the one. Blake Shelton, 2017. Now that is in the Jason Kelsey territory.
I think this is history making because I think he's the first openly gay man to win Sexiest Man Alive.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's the headline I kept seeing. That's why I saw it this morning.
Can I talk about the Arizona Cardinals quarterback situation? Do you guys still want to go around on this one? Okay. I have a thought about what's going on with Arizona. And of course, we're asking you today, is this the most embarrassing season that Jerry Jones has ever presided over? And he's complicit. Is this the most embarrassing season for Jerry Jones? Cowboys lose last night to the Arizona Cardinals at home. Offense looks terrible. Defense predictably looks terrible. But I have a question for you about Arizona. So Kyler Murray's been out now for 3 weeks with a foot injury, yet he was questionable on the injury report yesterday and then didn't dress. Mm-hmm. And Jacoby Brissett is in there. Literally, he's doing backup quarterback ads on Progressive or whatever, but now he looks like should be the runaway starter because the offense looks so much better. And Marvin Harrison Jr. and he look like they have some real chemistry. And we'll get to Marvin Harrison Sr.'s comments in just a little bit, because Marvin Harrison Sr. did not hold back when he was interviewed by ESPN recently. But, you know, we've seen these retread quarterbacks, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Pearl, the guys who, like, on their second or third team suddenly are coming alive.
Yep.
Mac Jones. Isn't Arizona maybe the perfect sleeping giant for one of these quarterbacks?
What do you mean?
And I don't know who it is. Maybe Matthew Stafford is not exactly a retread. It's a little bit different. But, you know, he and the Rams did this will they, won't they all offseason. They eventually signed him to a one-year deal. I just feel like Arizona feels like the Tampa Bay Bucks from a couple years ago, where Tom Brady went and saw this kind of like, they have a great defense. They're young. The offense has Marvin Harrison. Trey McBride's one of the best tight ends in the league. Like, maybe there is the sleeping giant aspect to Arizona. Not for this year, because you got Kyler Murray and Jacoby Brissett is not going to be enough to get you over the finish line. But what if it's one of these other either retread or older QBs? Like, Arizona, there's a chance here that this is something really good.
Oh, I don't see it.
They just don't have the right quarterback.
Yeah, I go to, they're kind of like the Cowboys, organizational dysfunction. Like, they never, ever get it together. Can't be an accident. I mean, you've had all different kinds of coaches, all kinds of GMs, all kinds of players, and nothing's ever made a difference because of that ownership group. So I don't really see it.
I mean, this ownership group did get them to a Super Bowl, and what happened, right? They found Kurt Warner, who had been cast off from the New York Giants because they drafted Eli Manning, and Warner was the starter holding the seat warm for Eli Manning, and then Warner had this second act that was incredible, and that's ultimately, I think, what even got him in the Hall of Fame. They put him over the top. I think this Arizona team could be like that, and now these retread quarterbacks seem to be such a thing. I don't know who exactly it would be. Matthew Stafford was the first one that came to mind if he wants to play another season next year and the Rams want to move on.
I could not see Stafford going to Arizona, because where did Stafford almost go this year? The Giants or something?
Giants and Raiders.
Yeah. I don't know why. I feel like he wouldn't go in division. Why would he leave LA for Arizona?
Well, they might want to move on from him. Don't forget, the Rams have that Atlanta Falcons pick. And they were like, go out to the market and see what you can get and then come back to us. That's not exactly like, hey, we love you forever, retire a Ram.
Yeah.
Something I was thinking about. 888-710-4ISN. Is this Jerry Jones' most embarrassing year?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.